The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
It's an effective tool that the Lord's given us. And we're thankful for that, for sure. All right. You know, we were talking in Colossians. We've been talking about developing faith. You know, stewarding the grace that's been given to us. And it abounds toward us, and how we have abounding faith by choice. That's the choices we make. And that comes from Colossians 2. It's in 7. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It says, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him. That's why it's so important to be in the Word. That's why it's so important to be in church, be in fellowship. It makes a difference. It says, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. That's developed faith. Just as you were taught. And look what it says, and abounding and overflowing in it. You're abounding and overflowing in that faith because of these things that you're doing. And then, like we talked about last week, with thanksgiving. Having that attitude of thankfulness, regardless of situation, regardless of circumstance, right? Because an attitude is a position of your soul, man, right? And a thankfulness attitude puts your soul, man, in a position to receive from the Holy Spirit. You're putting yourself in position. You'll see me if I ever talk to you, like if you're talking to me, like if I'm talking to you and I want to hear what you're saying, I'll turn my head this way because I can't hear out of this ear. I know it looks funny, but I'm putting in my position to hear you, right? Because I want to hear what you're saying. If I want to hear what the Holy Spirit's telling me, my soul man has to be in position to hear. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for giving us your word that we can position ourselves, that we can have your mind to hear what your Spirit's speaking to us, so that we can be in position to hear your will on a subject, on a situation, on a matter, on a trial, on a tribulation we're going through. Father, we want your will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for each person here, Father. Lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit to apply your will in our lives. And we do that by faith, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. And Jesus absolutely affects my attitude. Every time. And so then we went to 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. I'm reading it out of the New King James, quite simple. Verse 16, rejoice always. That's a good scripture, huh? I can even memorize that one. Rejoice always. And then it says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And you say, well, but Monty, when I'm doing this and I'm in a situation that you're telling me God didn't put me in, but then this verse is telling me this is his will. No, his will is being in a position to hear from him as you go through whatever Satan's putting in front of you. He'll take you through it and get you to victory on the other side. That's his will for you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it's all how you think of things. So many people will bring me scriptures trying to prove some kind of negative aspect. And I'm like, you don't know my God. I mean, my God didn't put a bad thing in front of me, but he prepared me for the bad things that he knew I would encounter being his servant on this earth, right? So he's prepared us for these things, these challenges, these trials and tribulations. At Bible study, I kept saying fire, or what was I saying? I was mixing my F's and T's the whole time. It was files or fibrillations, something. I don't know what I was saying. That was a long day of work, I can promise you. But understand something, guys. There will be trials, there will be tribulations, right? Did I say them right? God didn't do it to you, but he prepares in you what you need to go through them. That's his perfect will. And prayer with thankfulness is key. So that's what we're going to kind of talk about today. Colossians 4:2 out of the NLT first. It says, devote yourselves to prayer. Listen to this. With an alert mind and a thankful heart. An alert mind and a thankful heart. Let's read it in the Amplified. Be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life. Being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. Earnest means sincere, intense conviction. Unwearied means not becoming tired. Steadfast means dutiful, with a sense of duty. So let's make up my own words. And unwavering. See, that's our position as we pray. And it's a position you take, it's not one you feel. Because how many people have prayed when they felt tired? How many people fell asleep while they're praying? Right? Right? But the thing is I may feel a certain way, but I move past the feelings. See, so many people pray motivated by emotions. Ooh. Okay? And I understand. Listen, when you're in a tight spot and your emotions are whoosh, right? That's when most people start praying, right? When they're scared out of their mind, oh, Jesus, right? And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad. That may be where you start, but that's not where we're going to finish. Does that make sense? You see, I may feel those emotions coming in me, but I go with an alert, intent mind when I go to the Lord. I feel the emotions, but they're not moving me. I feel them, but I'm intent in my mind on what I'm going before the Lord to present to Him. Because what am I trying to get across? Let me tell you something. Oftentimes when I go to the Lord, I'm trying to get across my will. I am. Unashamed. Lord, this is what I want. But His ways are higher than my ways. You see? And that's why I have to be alert in my mind, sensitive in my soul, man, to the way the Spirit's leading me. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant. That word is gregorio. It's cautious and intent. Do you know that that's the same word when it says to have an alert mind, being aware? It's the same word in the Greek. So it's telling us when we pray to have this alertness. Then in 1 Peter it says, listen, be alert. It's used the same Greek word, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, what have we said? Let's not be devourable. Right? He can't devour us because that's not position we're taking. We're not putting ourselves in a position to be devoured. In our prayer life, your prayers can be devoured by the enemy. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Ooh. Well, what do you mean? I'll show you. See, let's go to James 5, 16 through 18, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. James 5, 16 through 18 in the New King James. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Then it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Right? Okay, so let's break it down. Who's righteous? We are. Why? Because we're in Christ Jesus. What is a righteous prayer? It's a prayer in right standing with God. Okay? Now, I've gone to the Lord praying my will in a situation. And it wasn't some, like, evil little selfish thing either, by the way. Well, actually, that's not true. It was selfish. I prayed for a situation. I want to turn out my way. Why? Because I'm selfish. I'm just being honest. But see, outside the leading of the Holy Spirit, I don't know the perfect will of God. And I know my will isn't perfect with my best of intentions. Right? What I was praying for wasn't a bad thing at all. but it wasn't what God wanted. Well, what's better? Money's a good thing or the will of God? Always the will of God, right? That's why we pray. Where'd I put it? This is in Colossians 1, 9 through 12. It didn't make the notes, but I texted it to Brenda. So it'll get up here. This is one of the prayers that I pray and read over you guys, whether you know it or not. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And listen to this. And ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's not situational understanding, it's spiritual understanding. Remember, we follow the supernatural to affect the natural. We don't remain in the natural, because I can't understand the natural with my best of intentions. With really a right heart towards God, I pray certain things. Do you think God gets mad at me when I pray a selfish prayer? No. He's looking at my heart. I mean, if I'm sitting here saying, I pray, I don't know, whatever. Come on, he's looking at my heart. But when he knows my heart is for somebody and their situation, I'm praying a certain thing. He comes to me and he says, listen, and he starts showing me things. And if I'm alert and intent, I'll start seeing what he's showing me. And it starts changing my prayer. Does this make sense to y'all? Because how many people have prayed something and it didn't work out the way you wanted? Everybody's hands goes up, right? And how many people got a little mad? I got real mad. And here's the thing, but when I stopped, I was like, well, am I mad at God? Honestly, no. And you can be. He can take it. Trust me. I have been mad at him before. But then he came and started talking to me and showing me how much higher his ways are than mine. How he sees things on an eternal plane when all I can see is just the little thing in front of me. So I'm trying to encourage you in your prayer life. Be alert and intent. Not just how the enemy's going to distract you. Heck, I could pray a whole or preach a whole sermon on prayer. How the enemy will come distract you. Have you been praying and all of a sudden your nose itches? It can be something stupid like that. Or all of a sudden legs start to cramp. Right? I mean, you know, just to get, you know, people always think that, oh, Satan's going to come and give you these crazy thoughts. It might be a fly messing with you. I'm trying to pray here. Anything to get you off your purpose. We have to be alert in those things. Seriously. Right? I mean, yes, he can get you thinking, you know, something that's not God's thoughts, right? He can try that on you. But he can try just the little pestering things, like I'm saying. So we have to be alert for how the enemy is going to try to disrupt your prayer life. I could preach a whole series on that, right? But what I'm talking about, too, is being alert to the Lord saying, Monty, shh, hold on. You only see this. If you want to pray to me, pray my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ah, you know what's good about that though? Again, takes the pressure off me. Because how many times have you gone to pray and you didn't know what to pray? A lot, right? But guess what? I have a Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit residing inside of me, leading me in my prayers. If I'm alert and intent and unwavering in getting done whatever God has assigned me to get done in my prayer life. And we are all called to pray. It said it right there. Pray without ceasing. Giving thanks. I'm thankful that he's given me his Holy Spirit inside of me. I'm thankful that he'll talk to me and slow me down. Get Monty out of my own way. Right? So that I can actually pray effectively for a situation and a circumstance, right? But man, your emotions will get there. You'll be watching TV and all of a sudden some kind of political craziness comes on. And then you start praying. Change something here. This ain't right, God. This ain't right. And cast these devils down in the name of Jesus. You're going to start spitting, getting excited in your prayer. Spitting. Right? And guys, we're going to be, emotions are going to rise, especially in this political season. Remember what I'm telling y'all. I'm telling you, the spiritual intensity that's coming in this new season, and it does follow politics. It does. I mean, get people excited, start talking about politics, right? I mean, and they lose their ever-loving mind, right? Instead, I'm alert as I pray. That's right. And I say, okay, Lord, what's your situation here? Maybe somebody's, the eyes of their understanding need to be enlightened. Maybe my eyes need to be enlightened. What's your will in this situation, Lord? What's your perfect will advancing your kingdom here? I'm not saying backing down. I'm talking about accomplishing what God wants to accomplish. We always talk about James 4, about submit to God first, then resist the devil. How do I submit to God if I don't know what he's telling me to do? I need his perfect will active in my life. And guys, we absolutely can discern his perfect will. This prayer wouldn't be prayed if it wasn't possible. For this reason, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, not yours, his, for all patience and long suffering with joy, and here's the crux, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's who we are. This is what we do. That's how we pray effectively. And I'm not saying you're not going to get excited by stuff that's happening. There are wrong things happening. Have you read the book? These days are going to get evil, people. But how are we going to navigate this evil and deception? By the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me, right? By praying his will, by submitting to him, discerning his will, having some spiritual understanding that comes from our relationship and knowledge of him. That's why we spend so much time in here talking about the word, getting to know him, right? Because that's the key. That's the crux of our relationship. The crux of our being is knowing him more. Because now we can represent him well. Not perfectly, but well, right? That's why I refuse to be disappointed. I refuse to be disappointed. I may feel it creeping up on me, but I refuse to be disappointed. Because I will not miss my appointment with God, ever. And because he's inside of me and my eternity is secure, I will not walk in disappointment. I'll feel it try to get up on me, but I will not walk in disappointment because I know the plans he has for me. They're plans to prosper me, to give me hope and a future. I'm convinced of that. I'm convicted. I'm intent on his will being done on this earth as it is in heaven. Let's look at Matthew 26, verse 36. I'm reading out of the NLT this time. Then Jesus went with them, his disciples, to the olive grove called Gethsemane. I know how to say that. She taught me. And he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John. You know it's important who you pray with sometimes. I mean, he loved his disciples, right? But he didn't take all of them with him over there. Just remember that. There's people you want praying with you. And God will show you those people, by the way. I mean, guys, if you want a long, beautiful prayer, I'm probably not the guy. I cut to the point quickly when I pray. That's who I am. I'm not saying those other prayers aren't important and necessary, but you got to know who you need for what situation. Well, how do you know that? He tells you. Anyway, that's a pause for a cause. Look what it says. And this is Jesus, and he became anguished and distressed. Was he feeling some emotion? Of course he was. Did he sin? No. Did he feel stuff? Yes. He told them, my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, is crushed with grief to the point of death. Then he told them, stay here and keep watch with me. What do you think that keep watch word is? Same one. Be alert. Interesting, huh? He went on a little farther, and he bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. That's a great example. See, we have a particle of understanding of what Jesus went through for us to receive that grace of salvation. We don't, just a small little particle, we understand. It made our Lord sweat blood. It was so massive, just so you know. He was facing something here. And he was praying. Verse 40 says, then he returned to the disciples and he found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even for an hour? They knew their Lord. They had walked with him face to face, right? And yet, here they were. Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. What he was trying to explain to them is, listen, stuff's going to come against your prayer life here with me. This is an important situation. You need to be intent. You need to be alert. I need you praying with me. This is the Lord. And I look at this story and I'm like, I wouldn't have fallen asleep. Oh, yeah. Really? I have, right? But it's a great example and a reminder that alertness, that in our intention needs to be heightened right now. Understand, Jesus was about to unleash the church age through grace at this moment. Okay? He is about to come back and put an exclamation point on the end of the church age. He's about to do that soon. Understand that. Christ's return is imminent. Soon. You know that word, that Gregorio, about being alert? When it talks about being alert for his return, same word. Okay? Guys, we are in the days of his second coming. Of the rapture, then the second coming. I'm going to use that all the same. We are in that day and that hour. We have to be intent and alert to what he's saying, to his will, right? And we can't get hung up with emotions, which are going to come, and that's okay. I'm not trying to teach you to be emotionless. You won't be. I don't want you to be. I'm teaching you to feel the emotions, choose the path of the Father as you walk through those emotions. It's okay. He had them too. And yet he always accomplished the Father's will. Always. And whose mind is inside of us? His. We have the mind of Christ. You see, Jesus had a perspective that was way beyond the temporal, and yet he still had to work through the temporal. Okay. It says in the scripture, we're seated in the heavenlies with him. When we take a heavenly perspective on a temporal situation, it helps. It absolutely helps. But are you still going to feel the anguish of the temporal? Absolutely. So did Jesus. It's okay. Is this helping y'all? Are y'all following me? I'm trying to encourage you in this day and hour where stuff's coming against you. It is coming against you. And hopefully I'm not negative. I don't want to be negative. I feel the intensity of the hour. Okay?
And I've had people tell me that they see that in me, that they see that I've been working through stuff. But you know why? I'm not having trouble, just so you know. Praise God, right? Is trouble trying to get in my way? Sure it is, all the time. Situations, circumstances. I don't like it my folks aren't here today. I don't like it that my friend isn't here today. But guess what? It has no, what I like doesn't have any difference with what God's will is and what he wants us to do. See, we do it in spite of the feelings and emotions we have. You see? Because see, I'm telling you, Satan tries to push you with emotion. And the Holy Spirit is leading you with peace regardless of situation. Man. And that affects my attitude. If I'm being pushed, I have a certain attitude, just so you know. And when I'm being led, I have a certain attitude. And my attitude affects what's getting done on this earth because I'm a representative of him on this earth, right? And it's important that I walk in that spiritual wisdom and understanding so that I can walk in my preparedness, advancing his kingdom. And it matters. It matters to your kids. It matters to your friends. It matters to your parents. It matters. You matter. How many times did you miss to come up here and say that? You matter. You matter. You so much more than you know. Anybody in here that has had to battle a spirit of insignificance, you're winning. You are not you are significant. You are so significant. The creator of the universe sent his son to die on the cross for you, period. For you. To save you. To put you in a position today to advance his kingdom so someone else could receive him. How many people need Jesus? Everybody. How many people do we see in this crazy world that don't know him? A lot. How are we going to change that? By following his will. That's the only way I can. Again, if it was Monty's will be done, about 30 seconds in, I'd have a big mess. Seriously, with the best of intentions. On my best day. But thank God, it isn't left to me. It isn't left to you. It's left to the Father and his Spirit residing inside of us, influencing our choices to follow out his will. Let us all keep watch and pray. I'm going to close us if I can find it. If my computer does the things it's supposed to do. Let me read this prayer before we say our scripture confessions. God's house, God's people. Where the church of the living God acts as the pillar of truth and speaking the truth in love in the Raton Basin, spreading the good news of Jesus as he changes lives. We pray to you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you would grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of you. We ask that the eyes of our hearts be flooded with light so that we can know and understand the hope to which you have called us, and how rich is your glorious inheritance you have in us, and that we can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of your power, Lord, in us and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the work of your mighty strength. Lord, make us intelligent and discerning in knowing you personally, with the eyes and focus clear, so that we can see exactly what it is you are calling us to do, that we may grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that you have for us who trust you. Endless energy, boundless strength through your Spirit in the inner man. We ask that you, Jesus, may dwell in our hearts through faith. Being rooted and grounded in love, we may be filled with all the fullness of you, Father. We ask you, God, to give us complete, deep, and clear knowledge of your will and to give us spiritual wisdom and understanding in the ways and purposes of you, and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. Then the way we live will always honor and please you, Lord.
And as we do these things, Father, our lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, we will grow as we learn to know you better and better. We also pray that we will be strengthened with all of your glorious power, so we will have all the endurance and patience we need as people who live in the light. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just read Ephesians and Colossians right there. That's all I was doing. All I was doing was praying God's will for you. You see, people say you can't know God's will. I've been told that by pastors, ministers, you can't know God's will. That's not true. It's not what I read in Scripture. We can absolutely know His will. His will is His word. His will is His word. It is. And He will enlighten us to His will as we need that information. You know what that requires? Trust, faith, every moment. It's simple, isn't it? It ain't easy. It is simple, but it's not easy. I'm not trying to sit here and tell you it's easy. What I'm trying to do is encourage you in the strength to walk out what isn't easy. See? But as we add to our faith the words, the healing words, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by those healing words. We can walk it out.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.